Welcome to Raising a Powerful Girl, a community and education platform that empowers parents and caretakers to foster independence, leadership, and strong personal identity in girls so they can change the world. Now, here is the founder and your host, Maria Fuller. Hello, everyone, and welcome to Raising a Powerful Girl. I'm the founder and your host, Maria Fuller. Before we get started, let's make sure you know where to find me. You can find more information about our education and community platform at raisingapowerfulgirl.com, and you can find us on Facebook and Instagram at Raising a Powerful Girl. Make sure to connect with us on social media to find out our latest news, learn tips and tricks, submit your questions, and continue our enlightening conversation. And now let's get on with today's show. Dr. Teresa Lyons is a staunch advocate sounding off about sleepless nights that exist for over 75% of children diagnosed with autism spectrum disorder. She's part Ivy League scientist, medical strategist, trailblazer, and mama bear. And her little cub is positive proof that autism, even the most severe cases, can leap from a state of fragmentation to emphatic and empirical healing. With 18 years of concentrated study in chemistry, deep collaborations with pharmaceuticals, and a 7-year track record as a mother to a child of autistic needs, she is rethinking the impossible. As a matter of fact, she is thinking 30 light years ahead of highly coveted research, making the future of developmental health the present. Dr. Teresa Lyons, the autism healing expert, teaches parents how to forget about autism and do the fun things that they dreamed about doing with their child before the diagnosis. Recognized as an autism and nutrition expert by Huffington Post and Dr. Mark Hyman, Dr. Lyons is the premier voice of scientific reason in the world of autism. Her mission is to correct the widespread misinformation on autism, nutrition, and therapies, and seriously impact the autism epidemic with her science-based approach to food and wellness. Dr. Lyons has her PhD in chemistry from Yale University and loves to translate cutting-edge research into actionable steps that parents can easily take to improve their child's life. Well, welcome, Dr. Teresa Lyons. I am so excited to have you on the podcast today because you are doing some really incredible life-changing work. And I would love for you to start by telling our listeners a little bit about you and your background and the work that you're doing.
Sure. Thank you for having me. I'm excited to be on this podcast. Empowering girls is something that's dear to my heart. I do have a daughter and I'm a girl. So I know what it's like to be a girl growing up and exploring. So what I do now is nothing I envisioned when I was a little girl. It all came from my daughter. So I was career focused. I was in the healthcare industry and the pharmaceutical industry and really had a career trajectory of, you know, the corner office and all those things that come with it. And when I had my daughter and she started having problems, it really changed what I valued in life. So even having my daughter, I had these visions when I was pregnant of, you know, cuddling and Eskimo kisses and just all this like cute, fun stuff playing. And my daughter was diagnosed with autism at 3.5 years old. And none of those dreams that I had, we were ever able to do because of her diagnosis. And she was severely autistic.
I can relate to so much of that, you know, having your career path trajectory changed because of your daughters. And one of my beliefs is that our children are sent to us for a reason, to teach us a lesson, to help us on our path. And I love that you found that with your daughter. And I think that so many mothers can relate to this idea of this vision in your head of what motherhood is supposed to look like.
Yes.
And what your relationship is supposed to look like with your children and your daughter. And the reality is that that's not what it is. But when we can take a step back and let go of our preconceived ideas of what motherhood should look like, and we look at what it is for us, what I've found is that there is so much more beauty than I could have imagined in my relationships with my girls. And there's a lot of challenges that I'm faced, but every challenge that's given to me has brought out a beautiful aspect in my life. And I know with your experience, I'm sure your challenges have been very great in what you have experienced. So your daughter is diagnosed at 3.5. And you're a doctor who has studied, chemistry, and, you know, you're knowledgeable in the medical field. What did that look like for you?
So it was kind of half and half. So I am highly trained, have a PhD in chemistry from Yale University, worked in the healthcare industry. I was a medical strategist for a consulting company for pharmaceutical companies. I know how to put teams together. I know how to make things happen and move. And as I was seeing my daughter just not hit those milestones and just, it became very obvious because she was severely autistic. It brought out that emotional side. So all of that training, I couldn't really access because I was so sad. I was so worried. I was just depressed and angry. All those negative emotions that really limit someone and keep them from taking action in their life, regardless of what the situation is. If you stay in anger and sadness, you don't really get to step out of it. So it was a point where I had to just take action, go get the diagnosis, you know, start building her team and start bringing in the best physicians and therapists around the world. And that's when there's like that balance. Everyone talks about work-life balance. So in this case, I had to balance motherhood with academic skills and business skills, but to leverage that for my daughter. So many times we would go into doctor's appointments and I would send an agenda firsthand and I would tell the doctor, I'm not in mommy mode right now. This is business. So I had to learn how to separate out some of that emotion so that I could take action and get my daughter what I needed.
Yeah, that's definitely a struggle to find that balance, especially when your heart is so invested, which is very different than when you're working, you know, with a patient or, you know, a situation that doesn't have that emotional thread. So I would love for you to start by just, you know, we hear about autism all over the news and the media. Can you give a simple definition of what that is?
A simple definition of autism is highly misunderstood. So the definition that most people are familiar with is it's a long-term devastating disability. And that's usually those key words are what people are familiar with. So there's difficulty in communicating and it's a spectrum. So that difficulty can be extreme where the child doesn't speak at all, or it can be very mild where maybe they perseverate on a certain subject or things like that. What autism really is a whole body dysfunction that scientifically in the literature in 2016 has been shown that about 10% of those with autism in the US heal completely. So it's not a lifelong devastating disability for everyone. And there's more opportunity for children to heal, to engage with the world, and at the very least, improve. So it is not this devastation that really is out there in mainstream media. In the scientific literature, there's so much hope. And that's actually one thing that I do is on my blog and in my teachings, I teach parents the cutting edge research for today, which will save them about 30 years. It usually takes 30 years for scientific information to trickle down and become common knowledge. So I accelerate that because the science is there. It's exciting. I've done it with my daughter. I've done it with clients, improvements, and it's not limiting. So there's what autism people think it is and what autism really is. And it's two completely different things. It's like night and day.
Wow, that's amazing. And, you know, I have a smaller medical background, not as strong as yours, but so much of that experience is the same that I had learned that, you know, there's so much information out there, but it takes a very long time for these new ideas to trickle down. And by the time they trickle down, they're old.
Yes.
More coming out, which is really amazing. And so for someone like yourself to take your experience and then share it with the world to help others is so incredibly powerful, because you could just focus on yourself and your daughter and help her and continue, but you've made the incredible choice to aid others in this incredible journey. And
I couldn't have this information and just walk away from it. It breaks my heart when I see parents who still believe that old definition of autism, where it's just behavioral and there's nothing you can do and this is the way it's going to be for the rest of the life. And just my personality is I can't walk away and not teach this information to others, because I really thought my daughter's life was limited to being just medicated and aggressive and like a zero quality of life. So I was looking at my daughter, who would likely never smile, never laugh, never get one of my jokes, none of that. And it's so completely false. She laughs at my jokes now. She'll sometimes give eye rolls like, oh gosh, mom, you know? So that's to have a child and to have those moments, that's why we have children.
Yeah. So talk to me a little bit about some of the work that you're doing and how you're helping parents on this journey with some of this new science, because I know that some of the stuff that you talk about is a little bit different than what we're hearing out in mainstream media these days.
Yeah, very true. So what I do in my blog is many times I'll take a current piece of scientific literature and so that it's easy to understand and also easy to take action on. So hearing that in the scientific world, it's known 10% heal from autism, it's shocking to many parents. Or hearing studies done in 2012 about sleep and how when a child with autism doesn't get adequate sleep, then their actual autism symptoms increase. These are all scientific facts. They're recent. I mean, 2012, this is amazing that the value of sleep has taken so long to be validated. So that there are these little articles that kind of chip away at that old thinking that autism is this lifelong devastating disability. And so what I do is take the different scientific articles and break it down so that parents can really see the logic and see the science for themselves. This is not my opinion. This isn't my research. I stick to facts. I'm very much a scientist. I stick to facts. And a lot of the parents appreciate that. You know, I have the links to PubMed articles, links to the actual researchers. And parents appreciate that because it's really hard to find quality information, because there's so much information out there that is just wrong, or if it's just out there to be commercialized on. And the information, the scientific information that I'm spreading, the whole idea is to accelerate healing for other parents' children.
Yeah. So you touched on sleep, which, you know, I have a couple of friends of mine whose children have a diagnosis of autism, and it's something that I commonly hear about, that they're struggling with their children with sleep, or their children wake up at, you know, 1 a.m. and 2 a.m. and they're up for hours on end. And of course, the parents have to be up with them to be monitoring them so that they stay safe. And, you know, we all know what it's like to have a baby and have sleep deprivation. And then to be doing that for years is really difficult. And I know that you work a lot with parents on sleep. Can we talk a little bit about that?
Sure. So sleep, it's like one of my favorite topics. I could talk about sleep for a long time because it is that important. So sleep issues are a comorbidity of autism. So there's many different issues that are comorbid with autism. Having sleep difficulties does not necessarily are included in the autism diagnosis. About 90% of those with autism have sleep issues as a comorbidity. So that's why when you talk to anyone, sleep comes up. And sleep is important for you and I, for anyone to properly function. So it's really hard for children to fully be able to embody all of the different therapies that are given to them when they're not sleeping. And there's lots of sleep issues. There's three main ones, and I work with parents. It's the first step when parents want to work with me closer. It's the first step that I work on, because if the child's not sleeping, you said it just right, the parent's not sleeping. And then many parents are like, I'm just a zombie. Mm-hmm. It's hard to function at work. It's hard to be skillful as a parent, to have that compassion, to have that patience. When you only get 2-3 hours of sleep for months, it can really wear you down. It can wear down the parent's health as well, the stress on the parent. So it is the topic that I work on first and foremost with parents, just because, first off, it doesn't have to be that way. And I consistently do this. I love when clients email me back or on the next call with them, they're like, I'm sleeping. I can actually sleep. And you hear the smiles of the parents, and they get that hope. And so sleep is so important. There's three main types of sleep issues. We don't have time to go into it much right now, but I have further information on it. Each of those sleep problems are addressable. They can be addressed in the short term with supplements, and then in the long term, that's really where the special diets for autism come in, and that's really where a lot of the healing comes in, when you start addressing these specific problems. So there's no reason that any parent or child who has autism, they're not sleeping. There's absolutely no reason whatsoever. So it's just about finding that right answer.
Right. And so, you know, it makes sense if you're talking about autism's definition as being a whole body dysfunction. Mm-hmm. It's not just one area of the brain. You know, I have done some reading with, you know, the connection between gut health and your GI system and so many other areas of health and wellness. I'm sure that plays a role as well in autism.
Yeah, it plays a huge role. When I work with parents more closely, that's what we start working on and addressing. But it's so hard when you haven't slept for 6 months, a year. It's hard to even get your mind around the different changes to make. It seems so hard. So that's why the supplements are the short-term solution. They work optimally for 60 days. So I work with parents on the supplements so that they can just start functioning again. Because like you said, when you have a baby and you have a sleep deprivation, you can't think. Like, everything just doesn't work properly. So sleep, it really is the first step, and then gut health. And there's many facets to gut health. There's obviously improving digestion, there's the microbiota, there's different foods to eat, there's different ways to heal the gut. If the child has dysbiosis, meaning there's a higher population of pathogenic rather than beneficial bacteria, there are many different aspects to start addressing, but really the first step is getting sleep, so that everyone is happier.
Yeah. I love that because it's really about, you know, when you're going through this, you kind of need to get through that crisis mode. You know, I remember when my daughters were first newborns and I was like, I didn't do anything today, right? Rocking a baby, you know, you're half asleep. And it was like, you know, my friends would say, you're in survival mode. You know, you're just trying to survive. And so when a parent is going through this and they're not sleeping, they're back in that survival mode. You got to get them a little bit grounded so that they can, you know, get that sleep and get out of that flight or fight response, which they're in constantly. And you can't think when you're in that response. And then they can start working and making those steps towards making changes. Talk to me about, you know, I'm sure it's, you have so much more stress on your plate when you're going through something like this. What do you do to do self-care for yourself, to care, to fill your cup when you're constantly being depleted? Because not only are you giving of yourself constantly to your daughter and to all of these, you know, physicians and team members that you're working with to give her, you know, aid, but the emotional component of it has to wear you down, because I'm sure it does for all parents.
Yeah. And this is a lesson I learned the hard way. And unfortunately, most parents learn this the hard way. It wasn't until I really became completely depleted that I realized if my health isn't optimal, then there's no way I can help my daughter in the way that I want to. So this was after getting sleep and still having all these different things to do. And I tried to just keep pushing forward and pushing forward and, you know, saying, I don't need to worry about me. Let me handle this. Let me take care of this situation and that situation. And I burned out and my health suffered. And so the universe was teaching me a lesson. And unfortunately, most parents learn this the hard way. So I would love for any of the parents listening to learn from me so you don't have to kind of run yourself into the ground until you learn this lesson. But now I have a rigorous routine. So my sleep is really important. I guard it like it's a train. If I miss that train, then the next morning I am a grouch. So I need the sleep train. I need to be on time. So 10 o'clock, I'm asleep. And I used to be a night owl, like up to like one or so. No, can't do that, because the next day I'm not skillful. So if my daughter, you know, wants something and I want her to do something else, I need that skill to be able to negotiate, to parent, to have that compassion. And if I don't have the sleep, then I don't have that skill. So that is one thing. Once my daughter's sleeping, now I have to make sure I sleep. And then I do a walk in the morning. So I have a whole morning routine. I've been meditating for almost a decade now. And I really meditate almost every day, 20 minutes every day. And again, it's because I notice the difference in me. So I notice how happier I am, how much more I can appreciate little things, how much more energy I have. I also exercise, but it's joyful exercise. So I don't make any of this stuff like self-care that I have to do that becomes like torturous. You know, it's all about fun and enjoying life. I worked so hard to get my daughter to a place where she can appreciate life that I need to be at that same place where I can appreciate. And self-care is huge. It's not just getting a massage. Many people think you have to spend money on self-care. You know, my walk is free. In the morning, it's free. You know, I get to see the leaves. I see different people walking their dogs, saying hi to people. All of that is self-care. And it really helps me be a better parent. And it helps me be a better person with my clients to help them through whatever they need.
Yeah. And I think it's such a great lesson for all parents. And yes, you know, regardless of any challenges they're going for, we cannot expect to have patience to teach our children skills or to have conversations or to deal with toddlers that are learning to make decisions and melt down over the colors of cups or teenagers that are pushing boundaries. If we are not taking care of ourselves and putting ourselves in a position where, you know, we've gotten enough sleep, our bodies feel good, we've taken time for ourselves, how are we going to have that energy, you know, to guide them on that? And I think for me, that was one of my biggest lessons too. And I hit the wall. I think a lot of us do. But I learned, and it is a conscious effort and decision every day for myself to say, what am I going to do today to fill my cup again? So that tomorrow or this evening, I'm in a state where I can parent the way I want to parent with my children. And I know on those days that I don't do it or I stay up too late the next day, I'm not on my game.
Yep.
And then it affects
them. I call it skillful.
Yeah. And yep. And then it just spirals, right?
Yep.
You're going and you're like, we just need to do it.
Well, exactly. We got to stop this. Yeah. And raising an empowered child, this is what the goal is for your listeners. It's the goal for me. It's the goal for you. That takes skill. It takes, as you said, conscious decisions. So it's not something that you can just, you know, kind of put on automatic pilot and be like, okay, I'm going to coast through this empowering parenting thing. It's a conscious decision to really teach your child how to have their own voice, how to make decisions, how to give them the space to make the wrong decisions, learn from that. All of this takes skill on the parents' part. So self-care, it's absolutely vital so that you have that patience and that compassion and that space to let your child become empowered.
Yeah, that's amazing. So talk.
And you can do it with autism. I will say, yes. Many people think ABA for the parents with children with autism, they're going to know these symbols and stuff. But ABA is not the only way to teach your child how to learn. There's many different therapeutic and educational modalities out there that teach you the skills of raising a child who can be empowered regardless of their autism diagnosis. So I do just want to put that out there.
Yeah. And I think that's really important because when we talk about raising a powerful girl, it's not just a specific type of girl. It's all girls.
Right.
Regardless of any special needs that they may have or anything else, we want all girls to feel empowered, to act empowered, and to have their voices heard in whatever manner they are able to share their voice with all of us. And I think it's really important for parents to remember that just because they have this challenge, that doesn't mean they can't raise a powerful child. It might just look different than what they had originally imagined. Talk to me about your daughter now, you know, thinking back to her original diagnosis and, you know, that first step to kind of reimagining life to what your life looks like now with her. Tell me how it's changed.
Sure. So, oh goodness, when she was diagnosed, it was just so dark. That's the only word I can use to explain it. It's just dark. I didn't see any quality of life. I didn't see any possible way for her to have a quality of life. So there was no smiling. There's no playing. There's no pointing. There's none of those connections. There's none of that bonding. There's none of that communicating. And, you know, forget about education and college. Like, I couldn't even go there. It was just like, could my daughter smile at me? You know, this is how small those milestones were. And I would think about my daughter completely healed, and I would almost get angry at that thought. So it just seems so far away and so impossible. And how am I going to do that? So what I did, as I do with any large goal in life, is I broke it down into smaller pieces. So I used like a football analogy and said, you know, the healing autism and my daughter off driving a car, going to college, having all those, you know, like college issues and stuff like that. That is the Super Bowl. I'm not in the Super Bowl right now. And if I try and play as if I'm in the Super Bowl, it's not going to work. So I just broke everything down into smaller steps. And like one of the goals was that she would be able to walk off a curb. You know, a curb is like 3-4 inches. That used to scare her. So it was like I had these really small goals, but I knew that they would eventually lead to this big dream of mine. And that's really how I did it, was just having these small goals and constantly hitting them and then saying, okay, what's next? What's next? And not being saddened that these goals were so small. So something like being able to cut my daughter's fingernails, it's most parents don't even think of that as a goal. But when you have someone with severe autism or even sensory processing disorder, that becomes a goal. And being able to hit these small goals just allows you to get that momentum going, and it can take you so far, especially if you have someone around you who can guide you and, you know, tell you what to look out for. It's amazing. And what we have now is just, it's just beautiful, I guess is the best way to describe it. It's what I imagined, but almost even better. So when I had my daughter, I wanted those connections, those bonding moments. And now I have them, I can treasure them so much more than if they weren't a possibility before. So in a way, her autism diagnosis and all the struggles that we've had just made me happier, made me appreciate her so much more. And that makes the bond even deeper. So, you know, we do cuddle, we do Eskimo kisses. She gives me kisses, gives me hugs. When she does something naughty, she'll be like, uh-oh. And then she'll try and give me kisses to butter me up. And so it's...
Well, this has been such an amazing conversation. I love the work that you're doing. I think it's really powerful and important. And you're giving hope to those that are probably in the situation where you were at the beginning, and to know that there are amazing scientists out there that are in that moment. You know, I think that's what's so amazing, is that you're living this. This isn't just you studying or reading, you know, a medical journal article. You're living and breathing this journey along with your clients, which makes you that much more relatable, I think, and able to be compassionate and show that towards others, because you've been through it. And I think that's really amazing. So thank you so much for your time and sharing your expertise and experience with us.
Thank you very much for having me.
For more information on Dr. Lyons, please visit www.autism.net. That's AWETISM.net. To continue the enlightening conversation, please join our community at raisingapowerfulgirl.com. We look forward to seeing you there.
You are a leader and a role model to developing girls. Whether you're raising a daughter or you work with girls on a daily basis, you see the incredible potential they have to make a difference in this world. You know the change we need is going to come from them, and you want to make sure they grow up to be independent leaders with a strong sense of personal identity, because these are the traits that make a powerful girl. So come join our community and education platform at raisingapowerfulgirl.com and become a part of our movement to educate, inspire, and cultivate a generation of powerful girls with eye-opening discussions and facts, exercises, and tangible calls to action. We can't wait to see you there.